From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. Radio show has transcended race, creed, and color through engaging, connecting, empowering, and transforming veterans, armed forces, and their family members by being the synergistic hub to veterans, affairs, information, resources, and referrals. And, of course, we are proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Furman. LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number, 888-837-3275. The office is 312-371-1977. America's Heroes Group is also proudly sponsored by Pearls, down Pearls Place. Please forgive me, Pearls Place. Down Home Southern Cooking, which is just great. 3901 South Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, the phone number 877-275-5852. Also, America's Heroes Group, She Serves, She Matters, partner and sponsor, National Women's Veterans United, the NWVU, 8620 South Pulaski, at the lower level, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. The office number is 872-731-2150, the website www.nwvu.org. And we are so pleased to have on our live line a gentleman I'm going to introduce to you in just a moment. America's Heroes Group, we serve the World National Guard Roundtable. That's what we have here right now. And with us on our live line, we have one of the most outstanding people that you could ever think of when you talk about the military. He is on our live line. He is Colonel Eugene Scott, U.S. Army veteran, and America's Heroes Group Business Development Advisory Board member. Colonel, how are you?
I'm great, Cliff. How are you today?
Good. Thank you always for being with us, as you always. We can always depend on the Colonel.
And my pleasure.
You're more than welcome. Thank you. And we have our studio guest, a gentleman we are so pleased to have with us. He is Sergeant First Class in the Illinois Army National Guard, H. Brooks J. Miller, Jr. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
Good. Good to see you. This discussion is collaborating the America's Heroes Group Community Outreach 2019-20 school year to educate and engage graduates regarding the benefits of joining the Illinois National Guard. And Sergeant Miller, you're really working on this, and of course the Colonel knows all what you're doing. But go right ahead. Tell us about that.
Well, so as a recruiter for the Army National Guard, what we normally do when school session is in is we'll work with different high schools in our respective areas, and we will come in there to educate all high school students, whether they're freshmen, sophomores, juniors, or seniors, about the benefits of joining the Army National Guard after high school. One of the biggest benefits and the reason why we do it in angle for high school students is because we give 100% scholarship. In the Illinois Army National Guard, we have the National Guard Grant, which is a four-year scholarship to any state-funded school that you want to attend in the state of Illinois. Okay, so this is all the public schools in Illinois. Once you join the National Guard, 1 year after you've served, 1 year after you've joined, that scholarship kicks in. So that's one of the benefits that we offer. We also have the Montgomery GI Bill. The Montgomery GI Bill is a stipend of money that the Guard gives soldiers for going to school. It's pretty much like a monthly allowance to do what you're supposed to do anyway. It's about $380 a month, and they'll get that while they're attending school. So it's a great educational benefit, and this is why we're in high schools all the time, talking and educating people about it to give them so they're able to make a decision when they graduate.
That is just great. Colonel, respond to that.
Well, it's a great program, Cliff. It provides young people with the dollars they need to go to school. Mm-hmm. But mainly, Cliff, the greatest benefit, although the money is much needed, very much needed, the discipline, the order, the attention to details, the truthfulness, all of those things are part of the military. And many of our students, when they get into high school, they aren't quite focused. This will help focus them and make them better students and be available to go into the National Guard upon graduation. I think it's a great opportunity for all of our students in the community.
I think so too, Colonel. And, of course, as you heard, First Sergeant Miller, who's doing a great job in getting these people. Do they understand, Sarge, that you can't have sagging?
Say again?
That you can't have sagging?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, right. that doesn't happen at all.
I mean,
you can. We'll just fix that.
You'll take care of that, right?
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me make sure everybody knows. I should have mentioned this earlier. The WVLN call-in line is 312-374-8130. This is America's Heroes Group. We're pleased to have Colonel Eugene Scott with us, who everybody knows, and all the great job that he's been doing and continues to do, and H. Brooks J. Miller, Jr., who is a Sergeant First Class in the Army National Guard and has just been doing some great work. Sergeant First Class, tell us some more about what people ought to know.
Well, so one of the things that we always push is to be educated. When we go into these high schools, sometimes a lot of students are reluctant to talk to us because they think that we're just going to grab them, make them join, and send them off somewhere. Once they actually get towards the end of their school year, then they start actually really considering it. And then sometimes that affect how they join. So what I always encourage people to do is to get educated fast. You know, if you don't want to talk to a recruiter, that's fine. Go to the website. Go to NationalGuard.com. That's a good way for you to get everything that you need to know, everything that I'm talking about and more. It's there for you to actually, you know, get yourself educated, you know. And one of the other misconceptions that we have about the National Guard is we are a traditional part-time organization, but we do have full-time employment. We need people to actually help us run our organization on a full-time basis, you know. So that's something that can entice somebody right. that's a graduate, mm-hmm. you know, a graduate that's coming out of college that's looking for a career. You mm-hmm. know, they can also come to the National Guard and seek out full-time employment. They'll have to start part-time, but then they can start applying for full-time employment as well, you know.
That's
and lastly, I would say that our scholarship is very powerful. It's very powerful yeah. because you can use it in many different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, our scholarship can cover you all the way up to a PhD. And so it really depends on how you want to use
That's
it.
That's great,
right?
Isn't it?
You know,
yeah.
so mm-hmm. a lot of scholarships that our high school kids get when they're in high school, just undergraduate based.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you already have your bachelor's degree, you mm-hmm. can use our scholarship to get your master's, or you can use it to go to law school, go to medical school. As long as you're going to a state funded school, then it'll be taken care of by the Army National Guard's National Guard grant. So those are some of the things that you don't see in the brochure.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that
that's
I think
tremendous. That yeah. really is. That's mm-hmm. tremendous. Colonel
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah,
go right ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want the young people in our community to take advantage of these opportunities. They're leaving money on the table
mm-hmm.
that they
mm-hmm.
can use for education. And a lot of it, they're just not aware of. And I want them to take an interest in it and pursue it and get what they can get out of it that would help benefit them.
Colonel, you're totally correct. In fact, I wonder what percentage of people even know that these programs are even available. You know, here I'm, you know, sitting here talking about America's Heroes Group and so forth. I'm a veteran. I didn't even know these things.
Right.
You know,
and
I didn't know.
It changes so much.
Oh, yes,
too.
Yeah. It was big, you know, when I was in the time I would have been in the Guard before I went into active duty back when the earth was cooling. I don't think we Colonel, these are great programs, as you point out. How long has that been going on?
These are relatively new programs.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. but there are so many new programs out there. Cliff, what you're doing, you're bringing this information to the community. There's so many new veterans programs and assist programs for young high school students or graduates that your program is going to help highlight and bring it to their attention. And that's the beauty of it. There's just so many things out there it's difficult to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
But you're serving as a resource that young people can tap into. I think it's just superb, the things that we're going to do in the future to letting our young people know that there are opportunities out there for them.
Colonel Scott, you're totally correct, because there's so many things that I just am so happy to hear about that I knew did not exist before.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason for anybody to, if, as you, Colonel, the way you put it, they're leaving the money on the table. You know?
Yes.
They are.
But a lot more young people are taking advantage of it. And I like to see that, because you want to have as many options as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the young people, this gives them a level of independence, because they're doing this themselves. And that's great. Because the more you do for yourself, the better off you're going to be in life.
That's very true. That's great. Colonel, the sergeant told me something. I know you keep up with all of these things, but I want to know if you've heard about this. When I was in ROTC and so forth, I was an expert marksman. In fact, the group I was with won a city championship, as I mentioned. You know, we had a rifle range at the school and the whole mm-hmm. thing. I don't know whether you know about this, Colonel, but I want the sergeant to, when I mentioned it to him before we started, tell us the changes here.
Yeah, so same. When I was in JROTC in high school, we had marksmanship,
mm-hmm.
and we actually used pellet rifles.
We used 22.
Yeah.
22 rifles.
And now a lot of the schools have converted into archery. they actually don't use the pellet rifles or any weapons anymore for marksmanship. That's something that I found out as I started going into some of my high schools, asking them about the marksmanship team and the color guard team. Because, you know, when I go into a high school, I look for a familiarity for myself, mm-hmm. so that I can, you know, relate to the
sure.
student. And mm-hmm. a lot of them started informing me that, you know, no, we don't have that anymore. This is what we do now. So most schools have converted or changed it into some way. Yeah.
Colonel, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Me either. I was wondering, are we going to fight the French and Indian War or what? You know?
I was at the newspaper when the mayor changed and took all of these rifles out of the high schools. I was against it then, and I'm against it now.
Mm-hmm.
The most disciplined place in the military is the rifle range.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's where you learn all the self-control you need in life. Because when we say cease fire on the firing line,
that's right.
We mean cease fire.
Yeah. That's right.
It all stops.
You are totally correct, Colonel. I didn't know that either. So we'll talk about that some more. Let's take a caller.
Okay.
We have a caller for... let's go to Robert. Robert, are you there? Robert?
Yes, how you doing, Cliff?
Fine, Robert. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
You know, I entered the service after you did. I attended Phillips. Man, we were a rich guy. We were $300-some a month, right?
You say what now?
I said I was in the service after you.
Oh, after the service,
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you before me, but $380-some a month.
Oh, yeah.
All lunch every day.
Yeah, right. Right.
Cliff, I'm jealous now.
I'm jealous.
Well.
And that's just to go to school.
Yeah.
That's a small amount.
These guys,
you know,
get money now and stack back. They'll have a big roll, bank roll by the time they get in going to go to the service, you know?
This is great.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Man, I wish I'd had that stuff back when the earth was cooling. I've been all right.
Good point, Robert. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Minister Hayden is with us. Minister Hayden, thank you for calling.
Hey, Cliff, and thank you guys for your service.
Thank you.
I did 13 years myself in the Army.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
what if you get into this program, and then in mid-flight you decide, well, I ain't going to finish college. Do they have to pay that money back that they were allocated already? And then you said it's $380 if they go to school, so they get that every month. What is the $380 going to cover? Because, you know, it's kind of expensive to go to school. So how does that really work?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the Montgomery GI Bill, that the $380 goes to the student. It goes to the student as a monthly stipend that they get for just being going to school. The National Guard grant is going to take care of their tuition. So that's going to be the biggest bulk of their expense. Mm-hmm. If a student, and the rest really depends on what that student is going to do. If he's staying in the city, staying home, then he don't need room and board. So actually the National Guard grant, the GI Bill, plus his drill check that he's going to get for his monthly obligation of serving 1 week in a month, he'll get on the average about $700 a month, and then his school will be completely paid for. If he stays on campus, we always encourage students to apply for financial aid. You can still get financial aid and use a National Guard grant at the same time. So what normally happens is the financial aid will take care of the room and board and the meal plan, and the National Guard grant takes care of the tuition. The Montgomery GI Bill and the drill check goes to the student. And we do that because we want them. We know that it's not a lot. It's not everything. They're going to have bigger expenses than $700 a month. But what we found out in recent history is that students start off becoming, they go to college and they have part-time jobs and they are full-time student. And then later on, they become have a full-time job and part-time students. And then that kind of declines. And then that may end up them leaving in general, because it's the money that they're after, and they'll kind of leave that obligation of getting that actual degree. So this is just something to help compensate that. You know, they can stay focused and know that without a shadow of a doubt, they got $700 coming in per month with the GI Bill and the drill check. They're not paying rent because the room and board is taken care of. We're talking about a cell phone bill, maybe a car note if they have a car, and just some regular monthly expenses. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of
what about if they decide that, you know, they're just not going to finish the schooling and they've got this money already? Are they obligated to pay that back to the government? Do they didn't complete the contract or what?
So that really all depends on the reasoning behind them not finishing their military obligation. There is situations where recruitment is involved, but it honestly depends. And they don't get this 4-year scholarship up front. It's year by year, semester by semester. So what happens is that when they find a school they want to go to, they get accepted. Then they notify the school that they're a National Guard member. We have a website that they'll go to upload their student schedule to let the guard know, hey, I'm using my scholarship for this semester. So they have to do that every single semester. So that's kind of how that works. If they decide to change their mind, then.
Thank you, Minister Hayden. Appreciate it.
One more quick question.
We're about out of time, Minister Hayden. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just a great, there's no other way to put it. This is a great program.
Yeah.
And Colonel Scott, go ahead.
They're the richest people on campus. With all their fees paid in $700 or $800, I may rejoin the program.
Well, listen, we were thinking the same thing.
Right.
Maybe we could be able to.
Our students have to at least consider it. Nobody's trying to push you into the National Guard or the military, but consider it as a viable option for you.
Yeah, you have to.
You're totally correct. And Colonel Scott, of course, he mentioned the newspaper. You know, Colonel Scott was the one who was at the Defender, Chicago Defender, always around.
Awesome. Okay.
The Bud Billiken Day Parade. I mean, this gentleman has done so much for so many. He's just a great gentleman. But always talking about the veterans, you know. And
that's right.
Why we love him. First Class Sergeant H. Brooks J. Miller, Jr., thank you so much for coming in again.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You give us great information. Colonel Scott, thank you so much, sir, as always. And thank you for being supportive, of course, of America's Heroes Group. And we will be talking to you soon. All right?
Okay. And thank you, Cliff, for bringing this information to our community.
Appreciate it, sir. You're more than welcome.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Colonel Eugene Scott. That's just great, great, great information. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the Americans Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlement. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Keep your finger on the pulse of urban radio by tuning into WVON, the only urban talk station on iHeartRadio. Download the iHeartRadio app today. It's absolutely free.
Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group. And we are pleased to serve our veterans. America's Heroes Group, we serve the World Purple Heart Roundtable. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. And our call-in number, I want to make sure I say it in time, 312-374-8130. We are going to be talking soon about this Purple Heart Roundtable. The Americans Veterans, Jim Chancellor is with us, who is a Purple Heart recipient, Vietnam Army veteran, and inductee to the Indiana Military Veteran Hall of Fame, and president of the American Veterans Collection. And the discussion is about American Veterans Collection program and services. Our guest, president of the group, as I mentioned, is a U.S. Army combat veteran who served as a door gunner in the Vietnam War. He is driven to educate America on the cost of war, not in dollars and cents, but on the psychological toll it has had on our veterans. He's got so much more to say, and I just can't wait to hear him. How are you, sir, Mr. Chancellor? How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. Somebody asked me when I was talking about you were going to be on, and I was talking about your extensive background, and they didn't know what a door gunner was. And after I explained it, they said, I'm sorry I asked.
<You know? laughs> It was an exciting time.
You're damn right. It was. Gee, I'm sorry I asked. There's a lot more to your resume. Tell us more that you would like.
Well, the American Veterans Collection started a long, long time ago when I first got back from Vietnam. And, you know, when I came home, I had a story to tell, and there wasn't really anyone that really wanted to listen because the war was so unpopular. And the only people that would understand or could understand would be another veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the reasoning behind the ring. The Vietnam Veterans Ring started everything a long time ago. In 1982, I designed a ring that is worn now all across the world and was requested by Bob Hope and worn and endorsed by General Westmoreland and just common people like myself all around the world. And it is a black silhouette of Vietnam. And then there's a small cubic zirconian chip placed in the area that you served in. So if you saw my ring, you would know, one, that I was a proud Vietnam veteran and approximately where I served, and that I was available if you needed to talk to someone. The mantra of the ring back in 1982 still stands strong today, and it is, I know, I understand, and I care. I know what you've been through because I've been through it myself, mm-hmm. and I understand what you might be struggling with, and I care. So that's how things began back in 1982. And then from that evolved my work with post-traumatic stress and how the war actually affects our warriors. And today I'm very, very busy with that, along with working with our homeless in Northwest Indiana.
That is just great. You mentioned, Mr. Chancellor, that you're driven to educate America on the cost of the war. And I like this, not in dollars and cents, but on the psychological toll that it has on those of us who served.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to do is, I'd like to very much so, and I've done so in the past, is go to universities and try to educate our youth, because they're our decision makers of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for someone to say, let's put boots on the ground in North Korea or Syria or back in Afghanistan. But they don't realize that 20 people a day that fought for our right to live here in this great country take their own lives every day, and it's because of war.
Yeah.
They don't understand the divorce rates and the alcohol and addiction problems that some of our veterans struggle with. And so I think the more I can educate them, when it comes time to make that decision, then it might be a little harder to say that.
Absolutely.
To say, let's put boots on the ground somewhere, when they know the total cost of war.
You know, Mr. Chancellor, I heard something. I've mentioned this before on this show. This the first time I've heard this. At 4th of July, they mentioned the fact, if you are going to be using fireworks, think of the animals. You know, they've always, but this time I heard them say, here in the stations here in Chicago, and also the veterans.
And that's correct.
Yeah, I thought that was great because, you know, a lot of people just don't, as you well know, don't think about that, right?
They don't.
No.
They celebrate our freedom,
mm-hmm.
and our birth of this great country, and without a thought that it didn't come free. It wasn't just something that was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we fought
mm-hmm.
for everything that we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you are the recipient of, as I mentioned, a Purple Heart and a Heroism Medal for Valor, and
yes.
as a recent inductee to the Indiana Military Veterans Hall of Fame. Tell us what that
yes.
means to you.
Well, I was humbled and honored when I was got the call that I was going to be inducted in the 2016 class. It was, you know, I just can't tell you how humbled I am to be inducted into a Hall of Fame with such legendary people. And so I'm just so honored to be even talked about in the same group as they are. The
the work that we do, I think, was, you know, there's two categories in the Military Hall of Fame. One is for your time in service, and then the other is it's your time outside of service. And, you know, my dedication from 1970 until 2016, I think, weighed heavily on the members who cast the votes. But it was in Indianapolis, and I was just honored beyond belief.
Well, you are very deserving, that's for sure. We are so pleased to have you with us. And that the ring you designed, that's great. How do people find more out about that?
Well, they can go to my website at veteranscollection.com.
Okay.
And it started out with just the Vietnam Veterans Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then I truly believe that we are all the same, that all combat veterans are sewn together with the same thread from the same fabric. And it doesn't matter where or when you serve this great country. I mean, your sacrifice was not any different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Your courage or your bloodshed forbid, it wasn't any different in World War II than mm-hmm. it would be in, mm-hmm. in Vietnam or Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So then I expanded the rings to encompass all of our veterans. We have a World War II ring, which simulates the ruptured duck. The ruptured duck was it was a pin actually designed after World War I, a victory pin. And it was more instituted after World War II. But we have a Korean ring, and then we have the Vietnam ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then our new ring is it's called the Patriot ring. And because there's so many different places that our fight with terrorism goes, that
With a
black star, and if you were in country, then that's when you get the chip in the ring. So if someone sees the mm-hmm. the ring, they know that you were in country.
You know, you're talking about the history of. I love Paris, you know, it's just a great city and so forth. But one time, I'm so glad that I was in France, Jim. I did go to see Normandy, and you know, when you think about that. It's unbelievable what those people did.
Well,
the Normandy invasion. As a combat veteran, and you see what they had to go. You know, as soon as that LST hit that beach, most of those folks doing the beginning, they were dead before they even got there. You know,
that is correct.
Yep.
I have a brother that's 2 years older than I am. He was never in the military, but he's as much of a patriot as you and I
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me on the phone one day and he said, "Jim, have you seen Saving Private Ryan?"
Wow. Yeah.
And I said, "No, Bill, I really haven't." And we just had some small talk and he goes, "Jim, I know what you do and you really need to see that movie."
Mm-hmm.
And we hung up, and about a month later he called me back and asked me if I had seen it, and I really wasn't avoiding it. I just didn't see it.
I got you.
And
I know.
Mm-hmm. He sent me a DVD copy, a special edition copy, and then one morning, you know, I lived by myself at the time, and I just put this DVD in, and after about 35 or 40 minutes, I thought to myself, "Oh my God, I hope this is Hollywood. I hope to God that this isn't the way the war was."
Yeah.
And so I went to the VFWs that I hang around in, and I talked to people that were on Omaha, and he said, "No, Jim, that's exactly the way it was."
Yeah.
He said that gate dropped. The first five or six rows were killed instantly.
That's right.
People were jumping over the side with a 70-pound pack in mm-hmm. water over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "That's the way it was." And I had great respect for RWW2s to begin with, and then I thought to myself, "How do you ever survive that psychologically? How do you ever heal from that?"
Absolutely, we are so pleased to continue to have on our live line, Mr. Jim Chancellor, Purple Heart recipient, Vietnam Army veteran, inducted to the Indiana Military Veteran Hall of Fame, and president of American Veterans Collection. And we're going to take a call for him. Let's go to Tommy. Tommy, how you doing today? Tommy, are you there? Tommy on line one? Hello, hello, hello. Okay, I guess he's gone. Let's try to get James. James, are you there?
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, James. How you doing, sir?
How you doing, sir? Congratulations. You know, I have a question and a comment.
Sure.
My comment, mm-hmm. I used to sing in the choir as a child. And I had to sing at a Vietnam funeral. And when I was singing, you know, I looked down at the casket, and it was just a fold-up flag. And I kind of shocked, like, where's the body at? They said he died in a helicopter crash. They couldn't find the body.
Mm.
And so that made me respect the veterans. I was like, wow, you know, this guy came to my neighborhood, gave up his life. And my father was a Vietnam veteran, came back, survived, and made me. So I wouldn't be here if he didn't survive. And I heard from my family that he possibly could have had a Purple Heart. And I want to find out, how do I find out whether my father had a Purple Heart or not?
Well, you make a good point before our guest responds. I mean, that was one of the things that I had mentioned about Jim's background. He was a door gunner, which is, if his ship had been shot down, it would have been the same sort of situation. Jim, respond to James, will you please?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. First, James, thanks for calling in, and kudos to your father for what he is, what he did for, and what he gave up for this country.
Mm-hmm.
If you, this is the call from Illinois, correct?
Yeah,
in Illinois.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. The way I would respond to you if you were in Indiana is we would call Pete Buskowski, our congressman, and work through them. You can also call a DAV service officer. There's probably a DAV organization in your area, and service officer can connect you and give you an address where you can write off and get your father's military records and actually a reemplacement of his medals. So that's all available through the DAV in your organization.
Department of Veterans.
No, it's a Disabled American Veterans.
Yeah. Disabled
DAV.
Okay.
DAV. Yeah, DAV.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work and you go to my website and leave me an email, then I will send it to you personally.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as a child of a veteran, I know I'm a little older, so I can't receive the college benefits. But what type of benefits do I have for honoring, you know, my father? You know, I mean, I'm 40 years old now, so is there a way I can, you know, represent my dad at these Vietnam programs, or how does that, for children, how can we be involved?
The American Legion has the auxiliaries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The American Legion also has the Sons of the Legion that you can get involved in.
Yes.
I think the VFW also has an auxiliary as well.
Yeah.
So those are two organizations, two great organizations that you could get involved in, with the one being the American Legion and the other being the VFW.
Awesome. I want to be involved, man.
And James, let me say one other thing that he's been telling you, of course. You know, America's Heroes Group also has an office, and you know, if you want to give us a call, if you run into some trouble, we'll be happy to help you also. That number is 312-803-2618, and Glenda Smith, the executive producer of the show, she'll be announcing that number again at the end of the show, as we always do. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, James. Not a problem. Again, I'll call that number, 312-374-8130. I tell you, it's just, is Tommy with us? Is he back or not?
Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, there he is. Hey, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
I want to say hello to your guests, and especially I want to give a hell yeah to all of the Vietnam vets, and I think it's an absolute outrage, disgrace that a vet should ever have to say it was an unpopular war because some idiot decided the thing to do was to beam to television people's sons dying on the battlefield. I think that is an absolute outrage that 58,000 Americans left their lives that for something that was that they were told that when you go into war, now just remember, when those guys start shooting back, when they start shooting at you, you don't shoot back over there because we don't want to damage their statue. But meanwhile, while y'all dying, y'all just keep doing frontal assaults with no air support, no artillery. So I think that it just touched my heart when I heard the gentleman say that he was a door gunner, but it was an unpopular war, especially since all of the World War II guys went in there. The greatest soldiers out there was the medics
and the individuals out there who all they had was a camera, that they thought and believed in their hearts and minds that the absolute horror and tragedy of war would cause the world to stop and think that maybe we can play some checkers to figure out whose land we're going to take next. I love you, Cliff.
Tommy, thank you so much. Yeah, go.
Tommy, this is Jim Chancellor. Let me just respond by saying
I think he hung up already. But okay. Please respond, Jim. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to tell him that he sounds like he's a true patriot, and he brings up an issue that doesn't get brought up a lot, and that was the media coverage in Vietnam. I mean, all it was a media race. You know, Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7. Who could show the worst atrocities of war? They would show that on television, and it was. It was just beat into the American people's heads that's the way the war was fought, and it was the farthest thing from the truth. But I appreciated this call very much.
And yeah, Tommy made some good points, didn't he, Jim? Absolutely.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, that you're right. The media race was sort of. Well, I can't say what I really liked you, but
it was.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But
yes, I do.
Yeah, exactly. Do. So, where do you see things going now? What you've got so much background and knowledge of our military and what we have done in the past and who knows what's going to happen in the future. But what are you thinking? Jim.
Well, you know, I'm just going to give you my humble opinion about war and how it should be fought and then about our heroes. Mm-hmm. First, you know, I'm not a hawk girl or a dove, I believe that if this great country came under attack, that we should fight with the unleashed fury of the Lord and not send 5,000 advisors here or 5,000 advisors there. We should avoid war at all cost, but it pushed to the corner and we need to defend this great country. We need to do it and end it quickly and decisively, and then bring our heroes home. I think that when it comes to the transition back into society when they get home, I think there needs to be a better track to transition. I think the people that come from war that stay in our United States military, they need not be red flagged if they seek out mental health, whether they stay in the service or whether they don't. They should be honored as heroes, and if they did reach out, that should be an act of courage, not something that is held against them. I truly believe we live in the greatest country in the world, and it's because of our veterans. So, I always go back to us being the same, and you know it boils back down to a poem, the Flanders Field poem, that people had the same thought way back in World War I when he said, "To you with failing hands, I throw the torch." I'm sure you know the poem,
right.
Flanders Field.
Yes, exactly.
And that talked about how we're all the same. Mm-hmm. And I believe these young kids now, when they go to war and they come home from war, they're no different than what I was in 1970. I mentor at our Veterans Treatment Court in Lake County, Indiana, and the first two people that I mentored were young kids, and they had tattoos up and down their arms, and I sat down with them, and every other word was F this and F that and F this.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you closed your eyes, and you listened to their story, and it wasn't any different than yours. I mean, if you didn't know how old they were, it could have been a story from Korea, or it could have been a story from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want us all to, I want America to realize that our young veterans are equally as honorable as our WW2s, the great generation, or any of them that have fought before them. And these kids know that. They become humble when they're around other veterans, and that bond that exists between veterans it just gets tighter and tighter all the time.
I agree with you. Everything you said, it's unfortunate that some people don't know the distinction, you know, because as you state, successfully overcoming PTSD is something, and you've helped a lot of people with that too, haven't you?
I have. I've been fortunate enough to do
you know, we do workshops, and we've done them all across the state of Indiana and some in Illinois, Governor State. We've done Governor State, IU, and Purdue, and it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult because you have a crossbreed of, I mean, a cross section of students and then veterans, and sometimes the younger veterans it erupts. Their emotions erupt, and it's right on the surface. And you know, then I'll get calls afterwards, and then I'll wonder if I'm doing good or not. One time I did a workshop in Northwest Indiana with a politician, a friend of mine, a trustee friend of mine named Frank Mervan. And when he was closing, I went into the bathroom, and there was a young veteran, and he was crying. Mm-hmm. And I just walked past him and didn't say anything, and I was washing my hands, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah." He says, "I think I'll be okay." He goes, "But you know, what you say is just absolutely true, but I didn't realize it until I heard it from you." And it wasn't from me. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's from me, but it's an educational process that they need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely need to know that there's better ways to do things. We're running a homeless program this winter in Northwest Indiana, and the obstacles that they need to overcome the most is, you know, first the pridefulness. You know, I carry a lot of pride. It's very so very hard for me to ask for help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that and then mm-hmm. change brings stress. There was I was working with a young lady who had about a 9-year-old daughter, and she was living in a drug infested, prostitute infested hotel.
Oh.
And working with the trustee that I do, I said, come to Highland, and I can put you in an apartment. I can make sure you have employment. We can work on daycare for your child. And she just continually said no. I talked to her 3 or 4 times on the phone, and I said, "I give you my word, you'll never, ever be homeless." And she said, "Your word's not good enough." And the end of that story is good, because she finally did come to Indiana, and her life is much better. But I went to, after she said that to me, I went to a friend of mine, a psychologist friend named Kevin. And I said, "Kevin, is it because she's a lady and I'm a man? Is it that she's younger than me? Why doesn't she trust me? Why doesn't she understand what I'm trying to say?" And Kevin said, "Jim, it's none of that." He said, "What did she do in the service?" And I said, "She was a medic." And he goes, "Well, there you go." He said, "She was in much worse situations than she is right now, and she survived." So, so you might think this situation is the worst in the world, but to her, it's really not that much. And she said, when you offer change, with change comes stress. Any kind of change, whether it be positive or negative, any kind of change is going to bring some type of stress. So she's living a stress-free life where she's at. So although you're offering her a positive change in her life, what she sees it is a change that brings stress. So she's going to avoid it. So there's so many layers to the onion when you talk about PTSD.
That's right.
It's not ever the same, and it's not, what I want people to know is it's not what's wrong with them, it's something that happened to them. You know, it's not what's wrong with them, it's a situation that happened to them.
Excellent, Jim, what you're doing. Americans Veterans Collection, nonprofit organization. Give your information once more just before we go off, please.
Sure. My home phone and my cell phone number is 219-771-6243. And my website is veteranscollection.com. And I'd love to help anybody that I could.
Yeah, I believe it, and you're doing a great job. And I like that ring you designed. That's a great thing,
Thank
too.
Thank you very much.
And listen,
Thank you.
What you have done and continue to do, this is just great. Jim Chancellor, thank you so much for being with us today on America's Heroes Group.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Bye now.
Bye-bye now. Well, this gentleman, there's so many veterans who have done things to help each other, and that's what America's Heroes Group, of course, is all about. We talk about all kinds of things, like the public policy he was just talking about, housing, legal health, all the military families. It makes a heck of a difference. And when people reach out like he's doing, that's just a great thing. Stay with us. We'll be back with more in just a moment. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly.
Mm-hmm.